Today, we'd like to see the title of Search It, the Scriptures Daily in the Book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 1 to 34. To none of the people through MP3 or YouTube channel on the earth, we'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Number 1, in verse 11. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. In that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. What does it mean? And how can we apply it to our lives? In verse 24-25, God who made the world and everything in it, since He is Lord over heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He worshipped with man's hands, as though He needed anything, since He gives to all life, breath, and all things. What do these mean, and what can we learn from here? Last question in verse 31. Because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead. What does it mean in the context, and how can we apply? How can we learn from here? First of all, we want to see Paul's second mission trip right here, particularly Philippi, then next the small city, Amphipolis, Apollonia, and Thessalonica and Berea, then Athens. We covered there. In Book of Acts last time, chapter 16, verse 40, so they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia, that is a Philippi church, and when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. Paul and Silas went out of prison, went to the house church of Lydia in Philippi, saw the church and encouraged the church's people, brothers in Christ. They departed keeping on the second mission trip. Luke, the author of the Book of Acts, probably was left in Philippi behind them until they met again in the third mission trip. In the light of the we in Book of Acts chapter 26, but we sailed away from Philippi after days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. Now, verse 1. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Paul and Silas went to a synagogue of the Jews at Thessalonica. See the above map. Verse 2. Then Paul, as his custom, was went into them, and for 3 Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures. Paul went to a synagogue of the Jews first, and reasoned with them from the scriptures. The Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead. In the following verse 4, this custom was his good routine lifestyle to support the scripture, not against the scripture, because number 1, The witness to Jesus is the first Jerusalem, and then Judea, Samaria, others in order, not in chaos or confusion. So first of all, Jewish, then the Gentile. And number two, our God wants the reasonable service of each living, holy, acceptable sacrifice. And number three, our God wants to reason together. The infinite God came to finite man through Jesus being reasonable. But finite man try to reach infinite God is impossible because a limited man could not reach unlimited deity. It's unreasonable. So Christianity is reasonable, unlike other religion, other religions. Then Matthew 15:32-6, he answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, what a profit you might have received from me, is a gift to God, then he needs not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition." So, but here, disciple Paul, you know, preached the visit synagogue of Jews. So Jews preached the custom to support the scripture, not, you know, against scriptures. So, Book of Acts chapter 1:8. This one is also older. You shall receive power and the Holy Spirit as come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in order, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Then Romans chapter 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and then also for the Greek, so Jew priests and also the Gentiles, in that order. 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. God is peace order, not chaos, confusion, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints. Romans 1:12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable. Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So reasonable service. Verse 3. Explaining and demonstrating that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." As Jesus told the disciple to Emmaus, Paul preached the gospel about Jesus' death and resurrection from the scripture, such as laid on him the iniquity of us all, a reproach of a man despised by the people, not leave my soul in Sheol, nor allow your Holy One to see corruption, bore our sins in his own body, live for righteousness, to the Jews first, and also other Gentiles who might have heard in the synagogue. Luke 24:27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Psalm 22:6. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of man, and despised by the people. Psalm 16:10. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, in hell, in grave. In other words, implied resurrection. Nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. 1 Peter 2:24. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Verse 4. And some of them were persuaded, and great multitude of the devout Greeks, and not over a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas. Many Greeks and many women were persuaded or convinced to have believed in the Jesus preached by Paul during three Sabbaths, becoming the Church of Thessalonians. The church became examples to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia area, latter area or regions. Later, Paul sent two letters to them through Timothy, work of faith, labor of love, patient of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, our gospel in word, power, the Holy Spirit, much assurance, in much affliction with joy, and so on. 1 Thessalonians 1:1-7. Paul, Silvanus, dear Silas, and Timothy, to the church over the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. You become followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you become examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. So, then 5-9, but the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace, and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "Did you who have turned the world upside down have come here too?" Jason had harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, Jesus. And they troubled the crowds and the ruler of the city when they heard this thing. Verse 9, so when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. The Jews' envy or jealous of Paul or Jesus blinded them to believe in the Jesus. and stood up in uproar, or not through their hired uproar, or through their hired mobs. They attacked the house of Jason, which might have been the church of Thessalonians, and dragged Jason. And other brothers in Christ to the rulers of the city. They accused Jason and others to turn the world upside down from Caesar the King or Lord world to Jesus the King of the Lord. For treason against Caesar, but Jason put up bond, security, or cash to the rulers for himself and others who got freedom. Verse 10, then the brethren immediately sent Paul Silas away by night to Berea, which they arrived, they went into the synagogues of the Jews. Paul Silas escaped speedily, immediately, from the danger of their arrest at Thessalonica to Berea. See the above map. Verse 11, question 1. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. The hearers in Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica. When they received all the word of the God ready from Paul's message about the gospel for salvation, they opened the scriptures for themselves and searched whether all the word of God of his message was found in the scripture. A preacher or teacher who gives God's true message will never be against the scripture. This is a good attitude because the scripture testifies of Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, in the light of the following, verse 12, John 5:39. You search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they scriptures which testify of me. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 12. Therefore many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. Consequently, many people in Berea believed to receive the word of God from the message, so including prominent people as well. Then is verse 13 up to 16. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came there also and stood up the crowds. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go to the sea, but both Silas and Timothy remained there. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and received a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed. They departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. The Jews of Thessalonica came down and interrupted Paul's preaching, even at Berea, stirring up the crowds. Paul was escaped from Berea to Athens, commanding Silas Timothy follow him to Athens speedily. At Athens, Paul was troubled in heart with full of idols. Verse 17. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentiles worshippers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. The word minister conducted five main things: preaching, convincing, the book, exhort, and teaching with reasons, not irrationality. Paul preached the gospel for salvation with reasons from the scripture, in season and out of season, to the Jews and the Gentiles. Also, Gentiles in the synagogues every Sabbath or Saturday, and to the people in marketplace daily. Verse 25, nor he worshipped with man's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives all life breath to all things. Now, page 5, verse 18. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, what does this babbler want to bring mouth to say? Others said, he seemed to be a proclaimer of a foreign god, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. The Epicurean, the followers of Epicurus, sought happiness or pleasure, the primary god of life, called as the Sadducees of Greek paganism. The Stoic, the followers of Zeno, sought the reason above, feeling in harmony with nature, called as the Pharisees of Greek paganism. They thought Paul as either a babbler or a preacher of Jesus and the resurrection. Babbler means big mouth. Verse 19:23. And they took him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you. They took Paul to Areopagus, stone hill, located northwest of the Acropolis in Athens. Click on, you may see. Paul was invited to tell his new doctrine before all the Athenians and the foreigners who either tell or hear. Paul opined that they were very religious because they sought God seriously, even the unknown God. The finite people sought the infinite God. Paul started from the place of the hearer who already knew the inscription to the unknown God. It is a good point, as Jesus used the parable sowing seeds to the audience farmers. Uh, Verse 24, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. God created the heaven and earth, not being limited to the place made by man. God is infinite, not finite. God is omnipresent. Even if we sought to flee from the presence of God, we cannot escape His presence. We often lose the consciousness of His presence. If we had the continual consciousness of His presence, it in itself would be the stimulus for holiness or setting apart from the world. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Psalm 139:7-10. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. So God is omnipresent. Verse 25, nor is he worshipped with man's hand, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, all things. Because God created the heaven and earth and all its fullness, God is its owner and doesn't need anything from man, created and owned by God. But God wants to be glorified by us with given things, given free will, given talents, and given situation or open door. Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord, and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. Revelation 4:11. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for you created all things. By your will they exist and were created. God wants to be glorified. Verse 26. And he had made from one blood every nation of men to dwell all the face of the earth, and had determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings. All people came from Adam's blood by God's creation. God had appointed unto each person to the boundary of each habitation and wants to die. But whoever believes that Jesus is made alive forever and is a new creature, regardless of race or gender. Genesis 2:21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into woman, and he brought her to the man. 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Galatians 3:27-28. For as many as of you as you are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Jew. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation or a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Genesis 1:28. Next one. Now, 27 verse. So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. When the finite people seek the infinite God, They might hope to find him, but it is impossible or unreasonable, for finite ones could not find the infinite one. In fact, our God is omnipresent everywhere, or close to each one of us. 28. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. We are subject to sovereign God, who made us in the image of a Trinity God likeness. So we are his offspring, as some poets say. But as Adam's sin made all die, Jesus' resurrection of the dead made all alive. Genesis 1:27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." 1 Corinthians 15, 21-22. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of this death. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. 29. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. So God isn't represented by this image of a silver, gold, stone, something shaped by man's devising, despite an old man's artistic capacity. Verse 30, truly these things of ignorance of God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. In the earlier times, God overlooked such ignorance about these things, but now God commands everyone to repent the ignorance before God. Verse 31, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained, he has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Jesus is the man ordained by God, or the Christ. God has appointed Jesus to judge everyone in righteousness. God has assured everyone Jesus Christ by raising Jesus up from the dead. His death for our sin reconciled us with God from the wrath relationship through Adam's original sin to peace relationship through Jesus' ransom. Jesus only is the mediator between us and God. Jesus is the being in the form of God and became flesh. Jesus ministered on the earth with his disciples who heard, saw, and touched him. As over resurrection, ascension, and coming the Spirit of the Pentecost, every Christian may receive the Spirit, the overflowing living water in hearts. That all cross-reference Hebrews 9:27, Romans 5:11-12, Job 9:33, Philippians 2:6-7, John 1:1-5:14, 1 John 1:1, 1 Corinthians 15:14, John 7:37-38, John 4:14. So you may read the last one, John 4:14. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will have thirst, but the word I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. That's the Holy Spirit. 32-34. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, "We shall hear you again on this matter." So Paul departed from among them. However, some men joined him and believed. Among them, Dionysius the Areopagite, a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Various reactions to the gospel that Paul preached occurred. Some mocked, some wanted to hear more about this. Some accepted it and believed that Jesus. Believers were Dionysius and the Areopagite. Areopagite means a special intellectual group of the day. Damarius and others. It's like Jesus taught the sown seed in various places, or the word of God planted in various hearts. Some falls on the wayside, stony places, among thorns, and on good ground. Matthew 13:18-23. Therefore hear the parable and the soul. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, does not understand it, then the wicked one comes to snatch it away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. 20. He who received the seed on stony place, this is he who hears the word immediately, received it with joy, yet he has not roots in itself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arise because of the world, immediately he stumbled. Now he who receives the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choked the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, and indeed bears the fruit and produces some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. So we covered all three questions. You may see, click on here. You may see manuscript or MP3 is possible, also is YouTube channel as well. Continue to keep on prayer for is the victims of the earthquake. Also, we received from Loudermilk recent the news, you know, continually keep on prayer for his outreaching, his orphanage, and so on, and pray for his daughter who lives in Arkansas. Then the Islam people continue to keep on praying for evangelism, no longer in Muslim countries, that story. And PTA at Philippine Dumaguari, so is training the Bible teachers or pastor to outreach in Asia area. So continue to keep praying for them. Let's just see.